A kick save, Hill. Rebound, another try save, Hill. A third try save, and the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one, so we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Bob boots it ahead, sticks it left, Barbashev in, back to the right, a shot, score! Marchessault, 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here. VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Big thanks to Rob Williams, Rob the Hockey Guy on Twitter, X, as it's commonly referred to today. Not commonly referred to that at all. Everyone forgets that it's called X. We all just call it Twitter. Don't really know what Elon was doing there. But anyway, follow Rob at Rob the Hockey Guy. He does a great job covering the Vancouver Canucks, writes for the Daily Hive up in Vancouver. Just an all-around awesome guy. Really fun chatting with him about the Vancouver Canucks, the season that they have had. And the Vancouver Canucks, obviously the opponent for the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. And the Golden Knights are going to look a little bit different when they take the ice tonight. They just are. Noah Hanifin expected to play for the Vegas Golden Knights, make his debut. He arrived earlier today, 10 a.m. to be exact. Got off the plane 10 a.m., picked up by Captain Mark Stone, a couple of the other guys, brought to practice, gets on the ice a little bit late, but on the ice, goes through the workout in the morning, and is expected to play with Alex Pietrangelo tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. Anthony Mantha, also expected to be in the lineup for Vegas. He skated today as well. And so, Chapman, let's dive into a couple of things here before we get to Bruce Cassidy and his media availability earlier today. We talked about all the different iterations you could throw with Mantha in the fold as to what your forward combinations could look like. Bruce Cassidy, at least to start, is going with something that seems pretty traditional in the grand scheme of Vegas Golden Knights lines. The expectation today is it's going to be Barbashev, Eichel, Marchessault, Stevenson, Carlson, Mantha, Cotter, Waugh, Amadio, Morelli, Fraze, Kolesar. So with that being said, Anthony Mantha alongside Carlson and Stevenson, what are your expectations for that line?
Well, I'm going to expect a responsible line, a line with some speed. And
a lot of speed there.
Yeah. So certainly that's something that jumps out at me. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a line that's responsible with the puck, a line that may generate or should generate some offense, a line that should be good with puck possession. I mean, sure. I don't want to put it out there that they're going to score a goal, because I think that's, it's unrealistic, right? It's Mantha's first game. These guys
is it never unrealistic?
Well, they've never played together before, so I think it'd be nice, but I'm not going to go out there and say, oh, they're going to score a goal tonight. I think I would be more happy if they're on the ice when no goals are scored, mm-hmm, than if they scored a goal. Because I think you have offense in other places, but I'd like to see them not allow a goal tonight. Carlson, I think he was on the ice for four goals against Columbus the other night.
It gives you two legitimate top lines, right? Like, we know what you're going to get out of Barbashev, Eichel, and Marchessault. Carlson and Mantha together, to me, early on makes sense, because as you're trying to get acclimated to this system, I don't think there's anybody else better on this team that you can learn from than William Carlson. So to put Mantha with Carlson just makes sense to me. And then you throw in Chandler Stevenson. You got a right hand and a left hand. You have the ability to take face-offs. Like, it all makes a lot of sense with those guys on the ice. Now, from there, I like the fact that Nick Waugh has Paul Cotter and Michael Amadio. Michael Amadio has given you flashes of brilliance offensively. Now, there's an aspect of his game that works defensively as well. And I think when everything's equal, if you're healthy, Michael Amadio is probably right there alongside William Carlson in a shutdown capacity. But right now, I think it makes a lot of sense to kind of spread that out, because then you have the ability to defend well on all of your lines and the ability to score on all of your lines.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing because you got to get to the fourth line, and you've gotten some offense from that line, and not exclusively, but mainly Mason Morelli.
Sure.
The last seven games or so that he's been on the ice. So I think you look at the lines from top to bottom, and I think you're pretty happy with them. It doesn't seem like he overloaded anything. I think the third line is interesting to me because, as you mentioned, Michael Amadio, a guy who does have a little bit of defensive ability in his game, but he also can provide some offense. And like I said the other day, I want to see him do it next to someone not named William Karlsson.
Sure.
Like, to me, Michael Amadio is a guy who he's excelled playing with William Karlsson. I think he clearly has a bit of offensive upside in his game. I just want to see it come from somewhere else or when he's playing with someone else. And Nick Waugh is a guy who can help him create that offense and help him generate that offense. And we know what we're getting Paul Cotter. You're going to get a guy who's going to go out there and he's going to scrap and he's going to try to make something spectacular happen if he has the opportunity. Look, I like that line. I like that line as well. I think the top three lines, I think it's pretty balanced. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they're able to do tonight.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by Anthony Mantha, the player. I'm intrigued by him, not just when it comes to five-on-five offense and generating from that aspect, but I'm interested to see kind of the defensive impact that he can have and where he'll fit into this system grand scheme. I'm also interested in Anthony Mantha on the power play. We'll get to that in just a minute. Defense pairs, the expectation again tonight is that you got Hanifin with Petrangelo, McNabb, and Theodore, Hague, and Whitecloud. So, you know, we were talking about this idea after the game on Monday against Columbus where you wanted to see a shakeup of some kind on the blue line. We all kind of thought it would be Ben Hutton, right? Because at that point, the Golden Knights hadn't traded for Noah Hanifin. In the last couple of days, they hadn't traded for Noah Hanifin. But if that is indeed the shakeup tonight, what are you expecting out of Hanifin? Because, again, like, it's a different expectation for me for Hanifin than it is for Anthony Mantha.
Well, I think Hanifin is the guy that you circle your roster and you're expecting a big thing out of. He knows the division. He knows the opponent well. He's going to be playing with Alex Petrangelo, who is probably the best guy for tonight that he could be playing with. I'm not saying down in the future he's the best guy, but right now, coming into a new team, Petrangelo is probably the best guy to place him with because Petrangelo is going to help him with his game, help him out on the ice, help him understand where he needs to be, what he needs to do. I think the expectations are a bit higher on Hanifin than they are on Mantha. If that was what you're alluding to, I agree with that. So I think that's an elite pair of defensemen. Like that's a pairing that I think a lot of teams around the NHL look at and they're like, man, that's a damn good defensive pairing.
Do you ultimately expect it to stay that way?
No, I don't.
Really?
Yeah. I'll tell
okay,
you.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's available right now on the back end. Where does Noah Hanifin play?
Well,
I
think you're going to get Martinez back with Petrangelo when he's healthy. I just think that makes the most sense.
As a top pair when you have Noah Hanifin?
No. I think your top pair might end up being Shea and Noah Hanifin.
Yeah, I don't know that they want to overload the offense that way. I think in moments
you might see it.
You might see it. Like, you know how earlier in the season
do you think this stays the top pair?
I do.
Okay. And where do you see Martinez slotting when he comes back?
I think Martinez is, I mean, you look at it from a fit, right? Like, he's a left-hand shot, plays the left side. So you're looking at the left side of the lineup. I think the natural progression or the natural spot would be something similar to what we've seen at times with Ben Hutton, right? Like, you have an opportunity or you need to put in somebody on the left side in for, like, say, a Nick Hague or, say, Braden McNabb misses a game because of, you know, whether it be an illness or an injury, you have that ability to jump in there. But I think right now with Martinez not in the lineup due to an injury and a legitimate top defenseman now in the fold in Noah Hanifin. And that's not to say Alec Martinez wasn't that. I'm just saying when you look at Noah Hanifin, best defenseman available, he is a legit, on most teams in this league, top pair defenseman. I think you go with Hanifin Pietrangelo because that is the dominant pair that you can create.
Okay.
Now, they have to go out there and they've got to build on chemistry, right? Like, they've got to be able to play together and play well together. But if they do, that is a pair you can throw out in any situation feeling good and comfortable and confident in. And then I think what you do is you spot in Hanifin Theodore. You spot in those moments in a game where you might be trailing or you need a goal or you need to just build something offensively. That's when you go to Hanifin Theodore. But I don't think you go to that all the time as like a tried and true pair.
That's it's a really good problem to have. If you're Bruce Cassidy, but I mean, I think it sounds like you're saying that Martinez will be the odd man out when he comes back.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to say that because who knows what it's going to look like when he gets back.
And
right?
Like, we don't know when he's coming back either.
And that's the main aspect of all of this is like we're sitting here trying to project out and like who knows if Alec Martinez, when he gets healthy, if there's going to be another spot where a player's injured or a player's dealing with an illness or whatever it might be where you can kind of spot him in here and there. But I just think when you look at making the trade for Noah Hanifin and when you look at some of the defensive shortcomings for the Golden Knights of late and trying to shore that up, I don't think you're not putting anybody in over Hanifin.
Right.
You're not putting anybody in over Pietrangelo. You're not putting anybody in over Theodore McNabb. So it leads you to that third pair for the Golden Knights where you might see a little bit of a rotating cast depending on what the game asks for.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, look, it's really because they have eight legitimate defensemen now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think Ben Hutton is a guy. I mean, we talked about him yesterday, how much we both like Ben Hutton and we
great
like
teammate.
What he brings.
Yeah.
But if you're Ben Hutton, you're probably looking at it like, oh my gosh, like I just got healthy and now I'm probably the eighth defenseman. So
what do we keep talking about here?
The depth though.
It's the depth, it's addressing needs, it's finding ways to make yourself 1 or 2% better with the objective to win.
But the aspect of this that I like and where I think it really helps Vegas a lot is Ben Hutton's a guy who you could throw him in. And if he hadn't played in 2 weeks and you throw him in, you know he's capable.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting from him. You know he's not going to make a massive mistake. You know he's going to play his game. He plays within what he's asked to do. He doesn't need to go above and beyond. He's not the guy who goes out there and tries to do too much.
Right.
Like, he's the guy who just goes out there and plays his game regardless of the situation, and he's really good at it.
You have eight defensemen now that could be NHL regulars.
Yeah.
On other teams.
It's crazy.
But now it's about finding their game.
What
right?
works.
Like, that's the big challenge ahead of the Golden Knights right now is defensively they've got to find their game. 20 games, got to find it.
Yeah. I mean, this is it. This is the point in the season where you start to prepare for the second season.
Okay. So let's dive into the power play, and then we'll get to Bruce Cassidy. Top unit in practice today, Chandler Stephenson, Jack Eichel, William Karlsson, Jonathan the Marsh, Shea Theodore. Nothing really groundbreaking there. It is what it was before. Second unit is what I'm interested in. You got Nick Waugh, Ivan Barbashev, Anthony Mantha, Alex Pietrangelo, Noah Hanifin. Cassidy goes with two defensemen, and there's an ability to interplay Hanifin and Pietrangelo at the point as the quarterback. And I think that can be something that really does allow the Golden Knights to open up one-time options. You saw it a little bit in practice today. But the fact of the matter is, when you've got two defensemen on your second power play unit, it gives you a little bit more security at the end of power play, where if things don't go well and you've got an opposition coming in with a big line, you've got two of your best defensemen on the ice for you in that spot. But I'm more interested in the willingness to shoot for Anthony Mantha. Doesn't have a ton of shots on goal this season. High shooting percentage, you love to see it. But if he's fed the opportunities for one-timers, I do think he's going to take them.
Yeah, I think you're right. When I look at this, what stands out to me is, as you mentioned, the two defensemen on that second unit. I wondered if we were going to see something like this because you have three defensemen who are really talented offensive players. And I like the idea, like you mentioned, if something goes wrong on the back end, at the end of that power play, you've got your top pairing defensemen out there on the ice together. So it's a good problem to have, like we keep saying, to have this much offensive skill from your blue line, because it allows you to have options like this. I'm real curious to see how Anthony Mantha does on the power play, because look, let's call it what it is. The power play hasn't exactly lit things up.
Sure.
And I think it'll be better now that Jack Eichel has been back for a game. He's had a day or two to practice with the team and get readjusted to the game. I think the power play will improve. I think it was going to improve regardless whether they brought in new players or not, just because I think bringing Jack back helps you.
Yeah.
That you know, in a huge way. But, man, that second unit is really, really intriguing. Like, it's just fascinating to me that you have two defensemen out there, and then you also have Nick Waugh, who I think could probably play on your top power play unit if you really wanted him to.
Yeah, I want to see it in real time, in a game, right? Like, I want to see what that unit can do and how they can move pucks around. Hanifin, incredibly active along the blue line. He's able to hold on to pucks in a similar way that Rob was talking about Quinn Hughes, maybe not to the same degree, but he is comfortable at the blue line. He is comfortable kind of changing his angles, finding those seams, and he's really quick to identify them. So I'm very curious.
Let me ask you something here, though. Would you be more inclined, and certainly I'm not questioning Bruce. I mean, that's just nonsense. But would you be more inclined to put Barbashev on that top unit and have Stevenson play on the second unit for the aspect of Barbashev and Marchessault play together on that top line? And then you would have on your second line Stevenson and Mantha, who play together on the second line. Like, would you be more inclined to maybe want to see Barbashev on that top power play unit with Marchessault and Carlson?
No, because I want somebody to shoot the puck.
Okay.
And listen, as great of a playmaker Chandler Stevenson is, he's not shooting the puck the same way and the amount of times that an Ivan Barbashev's going to do. Like, I think that you take away the opportunity to just shoot first on that second unit if you make that swap Barbashev for Stevenson.
Okay.
That's just my thought on it.
No, I like it. It's a good thought.
Okay, so let's go to Bruce Cassidy. He spoke earlier today about Noah Hanifin, obviously, at length. He also talked a little bit about the power play, the decision-making that went into putting Pietrangelo and Hanifin together. So here's Bruce Cassidy.
Well, I know he's a pretty good player, knows the West very well. I know he's here. He arrived. Looking forward to getting in the lineup. That decision was made by him tonight, but I anticipate he'll play. We're going to put him right in with Petro. Plays in all situations. He's played against top players and basically his whole career. So really nice ad for us. Wish Miro all the best in Calgary. It's a great opportunity for him. He wasn't playing once we got healthy here. Enjoyed working with him, and I think he'll get a good opportunity there. I think they've already extended him, so that's how they feel about him. So, you know, his good play here helped us get a deal done, and wish him all the best. But, you know, Noah's going to play a little bit on the power play. He's going to play penalty kill, as I said, up with Petro for now. Marty's out for at least a week. We'll see how it all shakes out going forward.
You mentioned how Theodore can kind of skate the puck out of his own on breakouts and how much it helps. Do you think Hanifin kind of gives you enough?
Yes, absolutely. He's a real, for a big man, he's a smooth skater, and that's a big part of his game. One of his best assets, his ability to move pucks out of the zone with his feet and his hands, for that matter. So, like I said, he's a good hockey player, and he's played upward of 23 minutes or so and can handle that workload. Whether he gets that, all of that here, time will tell, but he certainly can handle it if that's the way we go.
Style in Calgary compared to here, I guess, or New York, from that standpoint,
Yeah, that's a big plus. I mean, they changed this year, new staff. Daryl in the past, Sutter was much more man-to-man. You'll see both throughout the league. So that's a little bit less teaching for myself and Johnny in that part. And I think for a defenseman and the center, it's probably the biggest adjustment. How far to chase, when do you release people? And once you've gotten used to that, it's a lot easier, I think, to just pick it up quicker. So that is definitely a benefit in our end. Yeah, you know, that's not a big part of it for us. They're a team that is, we know they're ahead of us. We know that they're first place team that's trending well for the playoffs. So we played very well up there the last time we played them. It seemed like it was a long time ago. That's why it seems like it's a long time ago. So for us, it's a great challenge. Coming off a road trip that started well for us, did not finish well. So get back on track here at home against a great opponent. Not a lot of weaknesses over there either. You know, they got D that get involved with the play. They keep the puck out of their net. Good special teams. But they've had some issues lately too, right? The start they had was unbelievable. Now they've, you know, they're going through, like a lot of teams in the West, a little bit of adversity. But they look good against LA the other night. Found a way to win, so they've done a lot of that this year.
What are some of the things that need to happen tonight to have a better start?
Well, we manage the puck and play behind them early on, right? Get them going back, put them on their heels that way, force them to break out pucks and go 200 feet. Don't give them easy access to our end and allow those long shifts in our end to get us to give teams life, right? That's what's been happening a little bit. We've been forced to chase games. Obviously, scoring the first goal is important, you know, for us to get to our game. But that's not to me, it's more about the buildup of the momentum of just keep going over the boards and, you know, keep pushing the pace and forcing them to execute. And we've got to do a better job with that mindset. And then whatever happens, good or bad, to keep pushing, right? Like lately it's not just one goal, it's two or three, and then we really chase it. So if it doesn't go our way early on for whatever reason, we got to get to our game in a hurry. And that's just what's been hurting us lately. It's okay to, no team's going to be perfect, but get out of those funks quickly and get yourself back in the game before you give the other team too much confidence.
Can you walk through how you arrived at that second power play you did with Panther?
Well, they both played the power play. I've always liked to have 2D that are comfortable on the power play playing on the second one, because a lot of times the penalty's expiring and good lines coming over the boards for the other team. Mantha, that was a discussion. Where has he played? I know he's got a heavy shot. Has he played net, front, bump, or elbow? He's played a little bit of everything. So we said, well, we'll start you on the elbow. We prefer a bit more of a shooting power play in the second power play, and he's got that mindset. Hannifin likes to shoot the puck, so does Petro. So we should see a lot more action at the net. Where they all end up, whether Mantha's forehand, downhill, or one timer, that could change. And the Petro could end up in the top, or Hannifin and Petro in the one. You know, it could be fluid up there. Today was our first look at it. So I don't know how it'll all, who will be the best fit where, but we're going to start with how we practice today. Nick and Barbie will still be sort of the net front bumper people, and we'll go from there. So how I arrived at it was, it's going to be trial and error, and today was step one on the trial part. Yeah, he was in a normal jersey today. He's taking, absorbing some contact. So, yeah, that's a good sign. He's not playing tonight, but going forward, once he gets through that contact phase of it, that's usually the next step to availability. So he's trending well. He skated on his own this morning, but he's not with the group yet. So he's not as far along as Pav.
So there's Bruce Cassidy from earlier today, and we've talked a lot about Noah Hanifin, we've talked a lot about Anthony Mantha, but haven't spent a lot of time on Pavel Dorofeev, who did skate today out of the red non-contact jersey, normal jersey today for Pavel Dorofeev. So it looks like he's getting closer. Obviously, we know kind of how these things progress. Once the player is out of non-contact with the team, you're generally looking at a day-to-day type of situation. And, when you look at the Golden Knights and you look at the lines right now, you could use a Pavel Dorofeev and what he brings to the table. It's net front presence. It's slippery play in the offensive zone. And, you know, I think for the Golden Knights, if you can get Dorofeev healthy and in the mix, that's going to really help you down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of firepower that's not playing right now.
Yeah.
William Carrier, obviously Pavel Dorofeev.
Yeah.
I'll throw Brendan Brisson in the mix as well, because he's with the team. So there's certainly reason to be, I would say, look forward to what potentially could be coming in the next couple of games as you start to get guys back.
Yeah.
Brett Howden, a guy I forgot to mention Brett Howden as well.
Skated on his own today, not with the team.
Yeah, so he's getting closer.
Yeah.
Look, Ryan, I mean, this is a team that knows what it takes to win. Mm-hmm. This is a team that has, I would say, more on the bench than a lot of other teams around the league do. The depth is incredible. I mean, and look, you could even, I know he's going to probably end up back in Henderson, but you now know that Mason Morelli can play in the NHL.
Sure.
Should you need him in the future. So organizational depth is really important. That's what won this team a Stanley Cup last year, the fact that they had guys that they could call up on, you know. Braden Pahal played that one playoff game and did a really good job. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously no longer with the team, but organizational depth is huge. It's important, and this team has it.
We got tickets today, right, Chappie?
We do, yeah. You want to go see the Tampa Bay Lightning, guys?
Well, I want to see the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I do, too.
But I'm going to be at the game anyway.
Yes.
Let's give away a pair of tickets right now. Vegas Golden Knights, Tampa Bay Lightning. You'll have to remind me when that game is.
It is Tuesday, March 19th, so a week from Tuesday.
All right. Tuesday, March 19th, the Vegas Golden Knights, Tampa Bay Lightning. Caller number 4 for the great Vincent LeCavalier. Caller number 4, you're a winner. 702-876-1340. One-timers are next.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for One-Timers.
One-timers.
A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. And we start off with a statistic. As we all know, the trade was one for one. Bo Byram from Colorado to Buffalo in return for Casey Mittelstadt. Bo Byram scored in his Sabres debut. He is now the first, this is amazing, the first defenseman acquired by Buffalo in a trade to record a goal in their debut with the Sabres since Alexei Zhitnik on February 15th, 1995.
Yeah, I was going to say Zhitnik played a long, long time ago, so When you throw that name out there, I'm like, wow, that's going back a ways.
You want to know who was a big Alexei Zhitnik guy?
Mrs. Maybe. Wallace?
No, me.
You? Really?
What? No. Yes, me.
Really? Why?
He played for L.A.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a big Alexei Zhitnik guy.
Oh, no. I loved, like, kind of teetering on that line with my parents.
Yeah.
Every time I'd say Zhitnik.
Okay. I got you now. Okay.
Like, it got to a point where there was a legitimate ask from me for an Alexei Zhitnik jersey.
They never gave in?
Yeah, no. It was not a thing that was going to happen.
Man.
Not a thing at all. But, hey, you're in good company, Bo Byram, and things have to happen for the Sabres more than every 20, 30 years. Like, that's wild to me, but I digress. Okay, on to some more interesting things. The Edmonton Oilers acquired Troy Stetcher today from the Arizona Coyotes for a fourth-round pick. That, of course, adds to Adam Henrik and Sam Carrick, who they picked up yesterday. Sam Carrick and Adam Henrik played today for the Edmonton Oilers in Columbus. And it didn't start off well for Edmonton. They were down 3-0 after the first period. Sam Carrick gets into a fight. It's a spirited bout, so that's kind of what you're hoping for from him. And the Oilers are on the board, but still trail the Columbus Blue Jackets 3-1 late in the second period. So clearly, those trades are paying dividends.
Yes. Yes, they are, right? Hey, Columbus caught fire, looking to win their third straight game, I think. good on the Blue Jackets for not packing it in and showing up to play teams that are fighting for playoff positioning. Look, if you're Edmonton, you're going to look at it. I have a feeling that game's not over yet, but yeah, you got to kind of, and I know you're going to ask me about Troy Stetcher.
Yeah.
Doesn't really do much for me.
Has anything Edmonton done moved the needle on for you?
I like Henrik.
Yeah, of course.
I like Henrik.
So do I.
Carrick, no. Troy Stetcher, even less than Carrick. I mean, the guy's got one goal.
Gotcha. Okay. So I don't have much more to say on the Edmonton Oilers. I'm curious to see if there's a bigger splash or another splash from Ken Holland tomorrow with the Oilers. But, yeah, to me, it's been a tad underwhelming, especially when you look at it through the context of what the Vegas Golden Knights have done and through the context of what the Colorado Avalanche have done. Today, the Avalanche get Brandon Duhaime from the Wild for a 2026 third-round pick. They also get Yakov Trenin and Graham Seward from the Predators for Jeremy Hanzel and a 2025 third-round pick. So when you look at the Colorado Avalanche in the last 48 hours, in Sean Walker, Casey Mittelstadt, Yakov Trenin, and Brandon Duhaime. Not bad.
They have surpassed the Edmonton Oilers for me with these moves that they've made. Obviously, for Vegas, a lot would depend on the status of Mark Stone, if he's going to be available for the playoffs or not. But I think Colorado has sent a clear message to everyone around the NHL that they are going all in.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't really talked about it as much as we should have. But Nathan MacKinnon making a really, really strong case for the Hart Trophy. I still want to see Matthews get to 75.
Sure.
And make it interesting. But I think if he doesn't, I think Nathan MacKinnon is going to win the Hart Trophy. Look, he's doing all this without Gabe Landeskog. And now you've gone out and you've improved this team. By the way, can we have the conversation that they are $9 million over the cap, but they're also using LTIR, and I don't see anyone crying about a team that won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago utilizing LTIR to improve their team. All the tears are coming in about the Golden Knights, yet no one seems to care that the Colorado Avalanche are doing the same exact thing.
Or the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, I'm talking about cup contenders, Ryan.
The only thing I'm going to say on this, it's available to everybody.
Yes, yes.
It's in the parameters of the collective bargaining agreement. It had been addressed after Nikita Kucherov and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And every general manager, to a man, didn't want to change it.
No, you shouldn't change it. It's
so... Stop complaining about it.
It's a good rule. Like, it's a good rule to have.
For hockey fans, like truly, Chapman, for hockey fans, fans of hockey, fans of Colorado, fans of Vegas, fans of any team of this league, if Gabe Landeskog comes back and plays in the playoffs for Colorado, that instantly makes the product better.
Yes.
It hooks you. And so there's a couple of things that I'll say on it beyond just that. It's available to every team. If the timing hits you in a position where you are not going to have a key player for an extended period of time, meaning you don't have that player available to you until the end of the regular season, why wouldn't you, if you're a team that's trying to win, why wouldn't you replace that?
Yeah.
It's just bad business if you don't do
it.
Yeah,
it's irresponsible.
And then the other thing that I'll say on it is I've seen a lot of, well, fine. If you want to sign players in LTI, that's fine. Do what you got to do. But when you get to the playoffs, you got to ice a cap-compliant team.
No, that's stupid.
Hold on, Chad. All of those people are saying that, giving the idea, the thought, that last year in the postseason, the Vegas Golden Knights didn't have a cap-compliant team on the ice.
Oh, I know. You got heartbreaking news for those people.
They did.
Yeah. You know who didn't?
Tell me.
The Edmonton Oilers?
Well, I don't know.
No, they didn't. They were over.
Okay. Well, look at them. Pot, kettle, whatever you want to call it. Like, listen, here's the thing. If you want to continue to slide the goalposts, every single time you do, the Golden Knights are on the up and up.
Yeah, they're not doing anything wrong.
And here's the last thing I'll say on it. Because we all know that a player's salary doesn't cover the playoffs, right? Like, it is an 82-game salary.
Yeah.
Because you don't have you don't have players that missed the playoffs getting paid into the postseason. It is 82 games.
Yeah.
So everyone wants to sit there and be like, well, the salary cap must exist in the postseason. Why?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist beyond game 82.
The guys who play for Columbus aren't getting paid in April once the season ends.
You know, Ash from Sam and Ash, I think she really enjoyed that argument for me earlier today.
Yeah.
Stop crying. Like, listen, just because your general manager isn't trying to do everything that they can to win,
yeah,
it doesn't give you a license to complain about other general managers that are trying to win, actively trying to win. That's the problem with sports sometimes today. You're not actively trying to win. This idea that the salary cap is for competitive balance is ridiculous. It gives some teams, Arizona, Columbus,
Ottawa. Actually, Ottawa spent money.
It gives some teams the ability to say, well, it's not our time. We're not going to spend. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. It doesn't have anything to do with competitive balance. If you want to make a trade, you'll make one. If you want to go out there and get a player, you'll get them. If you want to spend the assets to improve your team, you'll do that. If you want to win. If you don't, you won't. And I think a lot of fans that are complaining about Vegas or complaining about Colorado if and when Gabe Landeskog comes back, or complaining about LTI, or complaining about the fact that teams are being a third party in broker deals, like whatever it is, anything you want to complain about, the only reason you're complaining is because your GM won't do it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
That's exactly it.
Okay. Let's move on to Jake Guentzel. Because you know that there's an opportunity for the Vegas Golden Knights to do something else before noon tomorrow, trade deadline. But it appears that there's a deal in place to send Jake Guentzel to the Carolina Hurricanes. It's reported by Emily Kaplan of ESPN, Pierre LeBrun, a few other insiders reported it as well. Trade call could come after both teams, Pittsburgh and Carolina, conclude their games earlier today. Michael Bunting also held out for the Carolina Hurricanes due to trade-related reasons, so it gives you kind of an idea that maybe he's involved in this. We don't know what a full trade looks like at this point, but Carolina shooting their shot for a legitimate scoring winger.
Look, you got to go all in if you're the Hurricanes, and we talked about it last week when they were looking at Elias Pettersson, that they have the capability to give Jake Guentzel a big contract extension. So I like it from that perspective. They got some coming off the books next year. They're going to have to replace a couple guys, but I mean, that's a good move if that's what ends up happening. It's a great move for the Hurricanes.
They also activated goalie Frederik Andersen from IR. Andersen has been out for some time with a blood clotting issue, so that's good news, obviously, for Carolina, but more specifically, Frederik Andersen, the person.
It's great for him, and it's great for Carolina. You know, certainly blood clot, scary, scary stuff. So hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully he's feeling better, and I think Carolina, they'll need him down the stretch.
Alex Ovechkin has scored his 800.
Ice baby. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Every time.
We're not going to be f- sucked this year.
Alexei Zhitnik.
Yeah!
Alex Ovechkin. It's not the Alex Ovechkin Power Hour for those that remember that poll.
Oh, man. I got a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, you did. 840 for Ovechkin, 55 away from the record breaker. He's found something, Chappie.
Yeah, it only took him 45 games to get going, but he's going.
I don't care how long it took him to get going, as long as he gets there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want that intrigue, you know, when he's getting close.
Yeah.
Because you know the day he does it, if he does it, he's going to do it in a big way. Like, he's going to have, like, 4 goals in that game to do it. It just seems like his MO.
Oh, like a hat trick.
Yeah. Plus one.
And tie.
Yeah.
Or to tie and pass.
And pass.
Like, I'm with you. I'm with you there. They'll have to be a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, I would love Ovechkin to hit, like, a 5-goal game.
Oh, my God.
As much as you say 4 goals, like, I think 5 would be awesome, because I don't know that you start tracking Ovechkin. I mean, I would track Ovechkin when he's 10 goals away, but that's just me.
He's not scored 10. Well, you never know, right?
Are you going to bet against him?
No. No.
I would track it that far out. I don't think they will. But, like, it would be really funny if they're like, I don't know, maybe 3 goals away. That's when you reasonably do it. And he's, like, 5 goals away. He just goes out and scores them.
Yeah, scores 5 goals.
Zero fanfare.
I hope he does it here.
You would.
I mean, you know how awesome that would be? Like, we've seen everything in this building already. Could you imagine?
Literally all of it.
Like I think the because many...
A heartbreaking Stanley Cup final, a euphoric Stanley Cup final, an all-star game, draft later on. Like, yeah, everything.
I mean, listen, a lot of people don't remember this, but years and years and years ago, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar broke the NBA scoring record at the Thomas and Mack. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that.
He no longer
has the record anymore. But Vegas, man, if you're going to do it, do it here. This is the spotlight of the NHL would be on this city once again.
It already is, Chapman, based on what you see today on X.
Oh,
anyway,
that's great.
Those are your one-timers for today, Thursday, March 7th. I know why Darren does them at this point.
Is that because we have tickets?
That is because we have tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're going to go caller number 17 for no real reason, other than I just want Chapman to answer the phones. Caller number 17, you're going to Vegas and Tampa. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan, well, don't ask me why, because I honestly don't know why. But
Don't worry, I won't.
For some reason, I was watching the Ottawa Senators and the Anaheim Ducks last night.
Oh, I want to so bad, but I don't want to.
And it was a good game, actually. The Ducks won 2-1, but at the end of the game, Ottawa pulls goalie. They take a penalty. So that 6-on-4 advantage becomes a 5-on-5 with an empty net. Ottawa then took another penalty. So Anaheim had a 6-on-4, I'm sorry, a 5-on-4 advantage with an empty net. I have been unable to find the statistics on how many times a team in that situation on the kill has scored a goal. But man, oh man, it's one of those things that really got me thinking. I would love to know the numbers how many times a team that is on a 4-on-5 kill with an empty net has scored a goal in NHL history. It seems to be one of those statistics that they probably don't keep track of, because it's probably not something that happens very often. But man, oh man, Ottawa, I would have loved to have seen them tie the game and send it to overtime. But didn't work out so well for the Sens. They end up losing the game to the Ducks 2-1. And one of the teams that the Ducks apparently play well against. They're 5-1 against the Senators in their last 6. Don't ask me why I know that either, but...
Because you looked it up.
Well, no, that was a stat they showed at the end of the game. So.
Oh, so you saw it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have known that unless they showed it. Like, I wouldn't have cared.
You could have just leaned into it.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, I knew that. I was tracking it, Ryan.
Yeah.
Because I'm so intrigued by the Ducks and the Senators. There was nothing else on.
I don't know why you would be. Frank Vetrano's kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Brady Tkachuk.
Oh, he almost got into it at Radko Gudas.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
VGK pregame show is next with me. So I'll talk to you in about 5 minutes.